Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Sioux Falls Mayor Paul Tenhaken campaigned on his ability to serve as a dynamic and innovative leader for a vibrant and growing city. Since his election, he has led the city through natural disasters and a pandemic. This weekend also saw thousands of people take to the streets of the city where they peacefully called for an end to police brutality. Sunday night, however, several people in a crowd who had gathered at the Empire Mall threw rocks at police and at windows of local businesses. Some people looted those businesses, taking merchandise. Mayor Tenhaken called for a curfew in the city. Police officers used tear gas, flashbangs, and less than lethal projectiles to disperse the crowd. Mayor Paul Tenhaken joins us now for a look at lessons from the weekend and what's ahead for the largest city in the state. Mayor Paul, thanks for being here. We appreciate your time.
Hi, Lori. Thanks for having me.
Since taking office, you have had one challenge after another, and one of the things I remember during our interviews before your election was you talking about your leadership ability, your ability to reach people in their homes via the internet and social media, and provide that inspiration and that leadership and that policy that they needed, but also to surround yourself with the kind of people who are going to help you figure out how to do things, from pothole repair, to policing that were not in your personal experience. And I wonder if we could start our conversation by talking about some of those people right now who have been essential to your decision making. Who is at your right hand, and has that goal that you had before becoming mayor ended up being something that you can stand by now and be proud of?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. And, a lot of times the mayor or the governor or president, whoever you are as elected official leader, you take the arrows and you also get the credit for things when things go right. And I'll tell you that decisions that are made in our office, there is an army of people that are really making them. So the mayor is the face, but I've leaned a lot on our emergency response manager the last 12 months, a gentleman named Regan Smith. I mean, he has earned his salary tenfold because of what he's been asked to do and the hours that guy has put in and some of these disasters that we've had. But city attorneys, your finance people, obviously the attorney's keeping you out of the ditch, but the finance people making sure that the impact, financial impact of some of the things that we're experiencing right now are minimized as much as possible. You have a lot of risk people advising you on, the risks of different decisions that you're having to make, the legalities of those decisions. And so a leader is only as good as the people that are he or she surrounds himself with. And that's what I've really tried to stress to the people of the city of Sioux Falls is like, listen, you have an incredible city staff. We have 1,300 employees and have 12 in kind of my executive cabinet that are helping make decisions to lead us through things right now. And that's been incredibly well received. I think people do appreciate the leadership of the people, not just in the mayor's office, but the rest of the city employees and how we've responded to things the last several months.
I want to talk a little bit about putting things in perspective, because you recently did a Facebook Live conversation with Sioux Falls people and said, I don't want the story of the looting to overshadow this broader conversation. One of the things I noticed was how easy, as you scrolled through Twitter, for example, it was to become the line between what was happening in, Minneapolis or New York City or Fargo became almost blurred with what was actually happening in Sioux Falls, and you really had to engage, your thought process for fear that you would forget where certain cities had seen certain kind of problems. So how bad was the situation in Sioux Falls? How widespread was the looting?
Well, the situation was tense. I mean, it's been a long time since our SWAT team, mobile field forces, had utilized tear gas in the city of Sioux Falls. And it wasn't an overreaction either. I mean, it was a tense situation. While there's a lot of investigation going on, a lot of stuff I can't talk about, there was certainly, it was a challenging several hours on Sunday night. And it was a side of the city that I don't think anybody really ever thought they would see. And to your point, there there was a strong gathering of support from 5 to 6:30 in downtown Sioux Falls on Sunday, and you're seeing this across the country where there's strong support and peaceful protests happening. But all of that legwork that is happening with those protests is being overshadowed by what's happening usually when the sun goes down. And that is what's so frustrating right now, because these riots are counterintuitive to the end goal of having civil discourse and conversation on how we address the issues of the racial injustice and inequality challenges that we face as communities. In some cases, there is a culture of police misconduct. We've avoided that in Sioux Falls, and we have a great culture of professionalism in our police department, but some departments aren't as lucky, and they have a history, track record of police misconduct. And so people are frustrated with that. They're dealing with that, but it's important for people to also say, what's going on in my community? And I can watch what's going on in Minneapolis and in Miami and in New York, but you need to separate that from what's happening in Sioux Falls and what's the tenor here and what are we seeing here? And know that the way that we're responding and the way we're addressing those things will look a little bit different, because we are different, because we aren't the same community as some of those others. Some of the underlying tensions are the same across the board, but the way we've reacted over the years is different than how some of these other communities have reacted over the years.
I have been hesitant to use the word riot with what happened in Sioux Falls because of how many protesters were lined up in front of police and how many protesters were intervening in the people who were trying to, you know, break windows or throw rocks at law enforcement officers. Are you okay with calling it a riot? Is that how you wanted to see it reported in the news?
I called it a peaceful protest that turned into a riot, because it absolutely did. And I don't know how you would classify gunshots going off and rocks being thrown at police officers and looting and windows being smashed out as anything but. And it is absolutely a riot. And that's why we've been making arrests. We have a couple more arrests we just made this morning from people who are going to be held accountable for those actions, because it's, you know, the purpose of the protest was sound. The message needs to get out there and be heard, but not at the expense of the law. And we are a country of laws. We're a nation of laws. And they're why we have mechanisms by which to exercise your right to peaceful protest, to have free speech, but the ends don't necessarily justify the means.
Governor Kristi Noem, in her press conference today, answered questions from the press about what can be done in South Dakota. What are some of the tangible strategic steps that need to be looked at to address police misconduct, to address police brutality, to address the issues that thousands of people are taking to the streets to raise awareness for? She was asked about body camera footage being public record. She was asked about, or she mentioned, qualified immunity on the federal level. She mentioned on the local level contract negotiations with police departments and how they handle officers who have been charged with misconduct, how often they're reinstated. As just general overview, you know, she didn't get into specifics, and I'm not asking you to get into specifics, but I am wondering what some of the steps that you think need to happen next. How do you address the message of the protesters who say, our experience here in Sioux Falls is intense enough for us to come and take to the streets and ask to be heard. What's next for the Sioux Falls Police Department once those voices have been heard?
Well, you know, this is the most challenging part of the discussion is how do we move forward now? Okay, once the dust settles, you know, literally and figuratively here from all this, how do we move ahead? And Sioux Falls, over the years, has implemented strong community-based policing programs. We have SROs in every school in this city, school resource officers, that are working alongside these the kids in our community. Specifically, they spend a lot of time with our kids of color and the immigrant communities in our city. In some cases, we have multiple SROs at some schools with higher needs. We have a community ambassador program, where we have people from different ethnic groups and minority groups across the city who, for lack of a better term, they're kind of pseudo-deputized by the police department. They go through training, and then they get to work within the communities that, that they are members of to help build police relations. We have all kinds of community outreach programs with our police officers. All those things have been happening for many years, and they have been successful. And the reason I can say that is we had a lot of kids and a lot of people in our community who weren't part of the violence that we saw on Sunday night. But I will say for a fact that some of our SROs were standing in the front lines on Sunday night and seeing the kids that they worked with for years. And we have to question, why is that? Why has all that work been erased in a single evening? And so those are questions we need to figure out, where that anti-police sentiment in Sioux Falls is coming from in certain circles, because for all intents and purposes, we don't often see that. We don't get a lot of complaints in this department. We don't have a history of injustice with our officers. We can pull files and you can see police complaints, and it's very few and far between. So that's where it's important to recognize, again, I know that this issue is one we need to discuss and address, but I also think it needs to be looked at on a case-by-case, city-by-city basis and say, okay, what's the history in Sioux Falls? And what have we done in Sioux Falls? And what do we need to do better here? Because Minneapolis, quite honestly, has a culture in their police department and a track record of police brutality with people of color. And that's been very well documented. And so their match was very close to being lit already with the death of Mr. Floyd. And those people have had it. They are sick of that culture that they've seen in Minneapolis. And I think that's what sparked that as the epicenter. That's why they simply can't get control of what's going on there, because that pain and that hatred towards law enforcement is rooted in some reality. And it's justified in some ways because of that history. And so what we have to do as elected leaders is we have to recognize that. We have to come face to face with that and say, hey, Minneapolis, while it's not Sioux Falls, those issues exist here and those thoughts exist here. Perceived or otherwise, those are realities that we have to address. And how do we begin that? That's what we're trying to figure out. What does success look like in this? Because the past 5 to 10 years, we've really doubled down on our efforts to be more involved in the community with our diverse communities in Sioux Falls. And in some ways, I think it's paid dividends. In some ways, there's still more work to be done.
Mayor Paul Ten Hankin, you're invited to come back anytime with Chief Burns or other people to continue this conversation as we have this conversation publicly and figure out, yeah, how do people come to the table? Where is the table? What's already being done? What's been a success? And what else needs to happen in the days ahead? We really appreciate you taking the time today. I know how busy you are. So thanks so much.
Thank you, Laurie.